I also think it's pretty cool that, you know, we're in the nation's capital. Yep. There's a huge distinction amongst D.C. residents between whether they live in Washington or whether they live in D.C.
Yeah.
D.C. is like a cultural, art, music, food thing.
You're listening to Pubcast Worldwide.
Greetings, thirsty listeners, and welcome to this episode of Pubcast Worldwide, the podcast where we get to know interesting people around the world, chatting with them over beers, cocktails, and other libations at the coolest pubs, bars, and breweries on the planet. I'm your host, Chris Lukey, a serial event planner, patriotic podcaster, and lover of beers from around the world. So I had to throw in a quick patriot joke because today we are heading to Washington, D.C. for our first ever East Coast episode of the Pubcast. In the first of two D.C. episodes we've got lined up for you, I got to sit down with Dave Coleman, one of the co-founders of Washington, D.C.'s Three Stars Brewing, and Phil Runco, a local beer aficionado who provides thorough coverage of the D.C. area beer scene as a writer for Brightest Young Things, a D.C. and New York City-based online lifestyle magazine. It was super cool having two guys so involved in the D.C. beer scene on the show, one from the industry itself and one from media, so you can probably guess that this is an information-packed episode. So, what are three things you can expect from the show today? One, you're going to learn about the D.C. beer scene and the greater DMV beer scene, which stands for D.C., Maryland, Virginia, if you're wondering. Even a lot of beer fans don't know a ton about this region, so I'll let Dave help you with that as the episode gets started. Second, since Three Stars Brewing is the home turf for this episode, you'll get to learn about them as well. Three Stars is one of the OGs of the relatively young D.C. beer scene. It's honestly only a bit over 5 years old, having started up in 2012, so this was a pretty appropriate spot to have our first D.C. episode. Finally, Phil takes us on a virtual brewery crawl of the DMV area. We highlight a handful of breweries and beer bars across the region, so if you're planning a trip out that way or just looking for a good sampling of the scene, take notes. Before we get rolling this week, I've got a quick little commercial for you guys. If you're enjoying the Pubcast or just discovering us for the first time, make sure you're signed up for our online newsletter at pubcastworldwide.com. It's called the Brewsletter, and for signing up, you'll be the first to know about Pubcast events and exclusive deals that you, the listener, can cash in on. In fact, we've got one for you right now from our sponsor for this episode, Beer Cap Maps. What's a beer cap map? Well, for those of you longtime listeners, we actually had their co-founders Jesse and Steve on episode 5 way back in the day, and they are the makers of decorative wooden maps of different states and countries where you can collect and display bottle caps. These, along with plenty of other bottle cap related gifts, are a perfect present for the beer lover in your life. Personally, I've been slowly filling out my map of California with California craft beer bottle caps for over a year, and these maps are still my go-to gift for weddings and birthdays. Seriously, I've probably given out about 10 of these at this point in my life. Make sure to check them out at beercapmaps.com, and don't forget to use the discount code BREWSLETTER, that's BREWS, B-R-E-W-S, letter, at checkout to receive 10% off your order. All right, with that, it's time to head to the U.S. Capitol to drink some beer. Put on some red, white, and blue, grab your credit card so you can open up a tab, and heck, if you've got any friends that are bald eagles, invite them too, and let's head to Washington, D.C. to meet up with Dave and Phil at Three Stars Brewing. We ain't never going home, we'll be raging till the morn. We ain't never going home, we'll be raging till the morn.
All right, gentlemen. Well, let's just set the tone right now. Where are we at and what are we drinking?
We're at Three Stars Brewing Company, Upper Northwest DC. You guys have a couple options in front of you, including Nerf Guns. They're both taproom exclusives right now. Nerf Guns, which is a imperial stout brewed with cinnamon sticks and vanilla beans. Comes in about 9%. Nice, creamy, rich mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
And then behind that, you've got Sour Death Balls.
Yeah.
So this is a barrel-aged sour blend. We do a lot of this in the Funker Dome. 2015, we really leaned in on sour program. And sometimes it goes out to market in small format bottles. Other times, we just do it here.
I'm loving the Nerf guns so far. I'm going to wait till partway through the interview to dive into the death balls. Where'd you get that name, by the way?
One of our brewers found a video on YouTube. If you look it up, it's Sour Death Balls on YouTube. It's pretty ridiculous. And I let him roll with it because it's his project.
Yeah, do you give your brewing team some pretty good leeway with, together here?
Yeah, it's a crew. We really believe in everybody kind of exploring their own creativity and getting input from everybody. Honestly, naming beers is probably one of the hardest things in this business. One, so many breweries, so many names already taken.
Yep.
People love to set out cease and desists.
Yeah.
And also you want it to be original and you want it to have some meaning, or you can go the totally other end of the spectrum and go, it has absolutely nothing to do with the beer.
Yeah.
Like Nerf guns.
Yep.
Except for Nerf guns, you know, come out during the holidays.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of family Nerf gun play. And,
I dig the pairing.
Yeah,
I dig
kind
the pairing.
Of a little spice in there, you know.
I'm still recovering from the holidays, but this is the type of hair of the dog to really get out of it. Well, cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining the show.
Thanks for coming out. Mm.
Well, for those of you listening today, I am here in Washington, D.C. D.C., is it where
yep,
I'm at?
DC.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, I know the border is a little tough to...
It's a little bit of a golf shot from here, but if you've got a nice a nice driver, you might be able to hit it.
Got it.
But okay. Yeah, we're in D.C. proper, just inside the border with Maryland.
All right.
Yeah. The name Three Stars is meant to represent the three stars in the D.C. flag.
I was going to ask that because I was thinking like Tennessee with their three stars at first, but yeah. I wasn't sure what the representation was here.
Yep, it's the three stars, two bars of the D.C. flag.
All right. Well, I'm joined by two of the foremost beer experts in the D.C. area. Dave Coleman from Three Stars, and then Phil Runko from Brightest Young Things. But that's just my quick introduction of you guys. Give our listeners a quick intro.
Yeah, I'm Dave Coleman. I'm co-founder and owner of Three Stars Brewing Company. Started the business with my partner, Mike McGarvey. In theory, gestation as a brainchild probably about 9.5 years ago. Actually opened the doors in the fall of 2012. Just celebrated 5 years of being in biz here in D.C. My industry stretched back where I was a bartender and a beer manager prior to doing this. Ran a beer program in a very fledgling beer scene here in D.C. that was just kind of getting started before starting the brewery. So been around the block a couple times. I've had a couple beers today. But yeah. Just really love D.C., love it as a community, love it as a beer culture, love it as basically a very young beer town. I think that gives us a lot of opportunities, and it's not super saturated, so there's room for people, there's room for more players in the beer scene, and I love being a part of it. And then we got a guy like Phil who gives us all some sort of credentials by writing extensive articles about us and never editing out swear words.
Yeah.
Or even if he does, it doesn't look like he is, but I think that's probably specific to me. But Phil does a lot of good coverage on local breweries, local beer releases, in-depth, long reads about the backgrounds of the breweries, really kind of making them more accessible than I think we would be if we didn't have someone like Phil who basically kind of puts breweries on blast all the time and gets more exposure to maybe crowds that wouldn't normally get to know everything about us. And they definitely, by the time you're done with the article by Phil, you know everything.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, you use the word extensive, and that is certainly an understatement. You are the most thorough beer writer I've ever come across, Phil. So we've been giving you some accolades. How would you describe your role?
I think you guys are doing a great job at that. I would urge you to keep going. I've written for Brightest Young Things for, I don't even know, close to maybe 7 years at this point. Most of it, probably the first 5 years or 4 years maybe, was just music.
Mm-hmm.
And I started writing about beer, and actually the first big local article I did was on Three Stars, and I got such a great response to it, and Dave and Mike were such characters and spoke about beer so passionately that really was kind of a springboard into writing more and more mm-hmm. about beer and kind of realizing that there were, this whole industry is sort of made up of characters and people who often don't do the kind of extensive interviews that musicians do. Mm-hmm. And so you get a lot of honesty and you get a lot of candor and humor and all the rest of it. So what I've tried to do with my articles in general is just take what can be a very complicated and technical process and make mm-hmm. it somewhat accessible. And also just show the personalities behind the beer.
Yep.
I think it makes it somewhat kind of relatable, you know, that someone could read an article and even if it's long, express certain things they learned about it to their friends
mm-hmm.
and not have it be in sort of the brewer nerd speak that often sort of proliferates on message boards.
Right.
Which is great, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of exclusive in a way.
Yeah. Well, you've certainly given me some good research and painted a good picture even before I got out here. And you both touched on it in terms of where the DC beer scene is going, where it started. Dave, you've been here from the get-go in a lot of ways. So that's one thing I'd really like to explore with you guys today is that I made a comment before the interview that when people across the U.S. and in many cases the world, they think of areas like New England style IPAs, they think of California, they think of Colorado. The D.C. area, and in many cases the Mid-Atlantic in general, is not one of the first spots that comes to mind. So Dave, maybe can you kind of take us back to where you saw it start, since you've been involved in this scene since, I think you said, 2002.
There's a lot of components to this, and I'm going to try not to ramble. Let's start with a little bit of like just kind of structure of D.C. and kind of why we have the people here we have. D.C. is, in a large part, a transient town. So mm-hmm. you have a lot of people who come here for internships, college,
yep.
young people who come here, do this thing, get the better job, go to home, or mm-hmm. go to another new city. And that's kind of where we were in 2002. And so, therefore, people would come to the bar and they'd ask for things that were from home. So, you know, people who are transplants from California would be like, oh, great, you have Sierra Nevada.
Yeah.
Yep, here you go. People from Pennsylvania, great, you have Yingling. Okay, good.
Yeah.
But then it started getting beyond that, where people weren't just coming in and asking for that. People were coming in and going, holy shit, you've got Green Flash? Like,
mm-hmm.
I love Green Flash. I'm from that area. And I started kind of like catering to that a little bit. And other people were doing it too, but people were doing it at Church Key and at Paradiso. But our scene kind of grew there. And I think part of it is that it's so young. I think that's why it doesn't get a whole lot of recognition.
Mm-hmm.
Oldest brewery here is 6 years old. We're a little over five. I think that's probably a big component there is mm-hmm. that DC hadn't had a brewery in over 50 years when the first brewery of now opened.
Yeah.
So you go 50 years without a hometown brewery, your scene kind of becomes as transient as the people around you.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're getting great beer that was coming here, but none of it was from here. And people kind of got used to that. So, mm-hmm. like, they know they can go to, you know, a good craft beer bar and get stuff that's awesome from out of market that's getting shipped here.
Mm-hmm.
People are now getting the fact that when they drink locally from DC breweries, not only is it awesome,
mm-hmm.
but it's like kegged yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't made like a cross-country trip in a truck. And people are starting to recognize the value in that. So mm-hmm. like, as you see, the scene has grown. The people have become more educated about what they're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's also become something that we've all seen across the country where it's like a boom. So I feel like DC, the name's getting out there. I mean, mm-hmm. we're now available in multiple markets. We're in New York, Boston, Miami, occasionally mm-hmm. in San Diego.
Oh, wow.
And I think that it's also funny because it's a fledgling scene that a lot of the breweries here haven't been able to watch someone else do it successfully over the course of 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
So the breweries are in some ways like all small businesses figuring it out on their own. Mm-hmm. So some people want to grow just like a cloud and mm-hmm. just kind of spread. Other people are going, I want to pick markets that yeah. are important to me or that I have friends in or whatever, and mm-hmm. I want to be there. So that, I think, is part of what contributes to kind of a lack of recognition.
Mm-hmm.
But the DMV, I think, is making some pretty fucking awesome beer.
Yeah.
We got people doing, well, we're doing great sours. There's people doing the hazy IPAs,
yeah.
the milkshake, pastry stouts. I mean, they're all of it. And the range of what's being done in the DMV is everywhere. I mean, every brewery seems to have a very distinct and different approach from the mm-hmm. other ones within 5 or 10 miles of them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, when it was just like us, DC Brow, Atlas, everyone was doing such different stuff. So it was like, well, I know if I want this style, that's where I'm going. Yeah. If I want this style, it is where I'm going. If I want, you know, something that's totally weird, I know where I'm going for that too.
Yep.
So I think that that's something that is helping, and it's getting more and more recognition. I'm confident that the DC scene will get its, will get the chops it deserves.
Yeah.
Because I also think it's pretty cool that, you know, we're in the nation's capital, which is which is another problem, because every time anyone in this country thinks about Washington, they just are thinking about Washington.
Right.
Whereas every one of us, we live in D.C. We live in the District of Columbia.
Yep.
There's a huge distinction amongst D.C. residents between whether they live in Washington or whether they live in D.C.
Yeah.
D.C. is like a cultural, art, music, food thing, where Washington is just Washington.
Right. No, it's people do forget that there's a whole city behind it and a whole community a lot of times. And one thing I'd like to do, and you kind of touched on this because I wanted to get your thoughts on what the strength of being so young is, because I think, you know, certain beer scenes can be very set in their ways. And you've mentioned a number of things that, in terms of it being fresh, in terms of different breweries doing very distinct different things. Are there any other things that you'd want to highlight as a strength of being a young beer scene?
Being a young, small beer scene, it's like being young and small. There's a lot of agility there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can look at it very much as just the difference between, like, watch a kid run around a playground and then watch a 60-year-old man walk around a playground. They look very different doing it. Now, that old man may be wiser and knows more and isn't going to fall and break his neck because he's running around the monkey bars, which the young breweries will do.
Yeah.
But in the same time, it gives you an ability to do things that are different all the time. I mean, one of the things around here that we try to keep at, like, front of our brain is trying something new.
Mm-hmm.
With older beer scenes, people are so, like, locked into what it is, you know, locked into what that culture is, that they don't want to try to do something new and, like, for lack of a better word, maybe innovative.
Yeah.
In this scene, I mean, and especially around here, that's, like, what we do.
I
mean, we have core brands that we keep around all year round.
Yep.
But there's four of them. And in 2017, we probably released 70 beers.
Oh, wow.
40 beers, 50 beers. I don't know. I mean, so we have four core brands, and then we did, you know, every other day of the year, we were brewing something else different.
That's so awesome.
I don't think you can do that when you're beyond a certain mark, whether it's size or reach. Because if you think about some of the, like, older breweries, they have this huge reach in, like, every grocery store across 40 states.
Yeah.
Well, you better have your flagship available in 12-ounce cans.
Yeah, they've already set that expectation.
Right. So if that's how much you have to brew of all of that, how much time do you have to do the fun projects over here? Whereas we have a nice reach with our core brands, and it's in all the grocery stores around here, but we still are finding time to do what we're doing, which is, you know, trying new things.
It's worth making a note of the distinction between DC proper and a larger sense of the DC area, because when we think about how quote unquote small the scene is, if you look at it very narrowly within DC proper, there are five or six production breweries, and there hasn't been one that's opened in 3 years, which is remarkable. Given sort of the spread of craft beer in popularity, what has happened is that the growth of breweries has occurred outside of D.C. for a number of reasons. But it's happened in Loudoun County in Virginia. It's happened even in Maryland, in places where people thought that the laws were prohibitive at a certain point in time, but they've since been relaxed.
Yeah.
So if you take sign of a broader view, this larger scene is thriving and growing. And within it, the breweries themselves are doing better. When you look at how they're sort of growing and how that has an effect on the perception of the scene as a whole, a lot of these breweries are just now getting around to putting their beer into packages that someone can put in the mail, which is how, you know, you've mentioned Aslan. That's how that popularity sort of spreads. Blue Jacket is opening a separate production facility and will be canning their beers. Ocelot is going to be canning their beers. I mean, that is Virginia. Right Proper just started putting their beer into package. You have to allow some time for these breweries and their name and their beer to sort of spread a little bit. 6 years seems like a short amount of time, but I think a lot of places have taken very deliberate methods to planning out their expansion.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. I'm confident in a lot of these breweries have product that will stand up to anything around the country, sincerely.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm tasting it right now. In fact, I just switched over to the Sour Death Balls, and that is something. This is it's a pucker one for sure. Do you want to give it a bit more of a description beyond that?
So Mike, my business partner, and I, when we were back in the lab, as we called it, in his basement, where we were doing recipe development before we had any investor money, before we had an address, while we were brewing, before we quit drinking while brewing, we were always drinking and kind of just kind of wanting sours. I mean, there was like Jolly Pumpkin had just got here. We'd had some, you know, some little samples and tastes of like Cascade and stuff from Russian River. And no one on the East Coast at the time was doing it. So it was something that, like, in the beginning when we were writing our business plan, it was part of it. It was like, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
But that was like two kids in the basement who are like, yeah, we're going to do sours. We're totally going to do it. It's going to happen right off the rip.
Yeah.
And the reality is how we started this business, we just couldn't put in the components necessary to do that program right, namely having segregation of the two products, having your sours separated from your clean beers.
Yeah.
So we didn't build the Funker Dome until 2015 when we had the capital to do that expansion.
And is that in this building?
It's in this building, yep. It's a very large block in the back. It's going to be eventually, in 2018, moved to the new expansion space that we just took over. About 6,500 additional square feet over there that we just took over.
Okay.
That's going to be a large beer hall and then the Funker Dome as well. But back to the beer. Yeah, Sour Tart. I acclimate or go towards and love Lacto.
Yeah.
Lacto is a character in sour beer that I prefer. I like tart. Mike and I are kind of on the same page with that one. Some people really like Brett and like they like funk. Funk has its place. But if I'm sitting down, I was a Sour Patch kid.
Yeah.
And like, you know, anything that was sour as a child, I was like, oh, that's what I want. Except for like sour milk, that's pretty gross.
Good clarification.
I want to make sure your audience doesn't think like
we don't normally talk about milk on here, but that's there's stouts, a first time for everything.
Milk stout,
that is true. Yeah, that is true. Stout. I just totally lied. We do talk about milk stouts on here.
Exactly. So that one of our brewers just put together. We do tons of blending as most people do with sours. So we've got a room back there full of barrels, full of different bugs and different brews, and we basically, like, once every week or so, we sit down and just start pulling samples and then start identifying what we like and don't like and maybe move some samples off the table that aren't living up to what we want or maybe aren't there yet.
Yeah.
And then start tasting the things that we do like and kind of going, well, I really like this component, but I think it needs this to round it out. So that's what Greg came up with, and I love it.
Yeah, well, I was intrigued right when I saw the name Funker Dome, because that's one of the more unique names of a sour program that I've come across. So you're certainly doing the branding right as well.
Sweet, because that's my job.
All right.
That's awesome. Cool.
Nailed it.
Cool, I'll take a pat on the back.
Well, I've got a few more questions for you guys. We've talked about D.C. We've also talked about the greater area around here as well. Let's sell people on this scene a little bit, and we can do this a couple ways. But the way I'm going to propose maybe we do it is, let's say someone's coming into this area or coming into the greater Maryland, Virginia, D.C. area. What's a maybe a 3-4-stop brewery crawl they should be going on to get sampling of the area?
I think I'll let Phil do this one.
I think Phil's really qualified.
I think he's probably more qualified than I am, because I'm basically here and at my neighborhood pub and then home.
Yeah.
So that's like kind of what my life is. So.
Well, we're gonna talk a bit more about 3 stars before the end of this, but we'll let Phil take the spotlight for a second.
Tour guide.
This is tough because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. First of all, anywhere you go in D.C., and I feel this in the broader area, I feel very strongly that there are going to be 2-3 beers that they do very well.
Yep.
And you really can't go wrong. The problem is that, unlike maybe a city such as even San Francisco, Chicago, New York, it takes a while to get from brewery to brewery around here.
Right.
It's very spread out.
This can be kind of a virtual crawl as well, too.
Incredible. You don't know. What I'm just saying is,
if time and space were not an issue.
Time and space. Well, I would say, obviously, you're going to stop at 3 stars. So we're just going to say that's your your stop one.
Of
you're
course.
Come here. They have. We're sitting in the Funker Dome. Or no, I'm sorry. We're sitting in the Urban Farmhouse.
Indeed.
Which is a very nice kind of charming, rustic looking room, but very clean and comfortable and weather controlled, and a place that I very much enjoy drinking beer.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely kind of sets the brewery apart. In that sense, although I do think generally people have spent a lot more money investing in their tap room and the tap room experience around here and probably anywhere you go to.
Yeah.
So I would say it's tough for me because my favorite breweries are kind of located on opposite spectrums.
Sure.
Out in Virginia, Ocelot is a place that I would recommend very enthusiastically. They kind of specialize in IPAs influenced by San Diego style, very light, hop heavy, juicy, but with kind of a prickly bitter backbone to them. The kind of beers that you can drink all night and not get tired of and not even realize you've been drinking them all night.
Yeah,
agreed.
They also do a number of other things. The head brewer out there, Mike McCarthy, is someone who worked at DC Brow and worked at Cap City Brewing. So he has someone who brought kind of the experience of DC with him out there, combined with the kind of an owner with a lot of strong opinions of his own, Adrian Widman, who is a home brewer who really knows his stuff. So I would say you have to go there. It's a trip. It's out by the airport. If you're flying into Dulles, great. You're already there.
Okay.
Then I would say on the opposite end of the spectrum, it's not a DC brewery, but Union Craft in Baltimore.
Okay.
When we talk about this loose idea of DC, I consider them a local beer. It's another city.
Hey, I'm flying out of BWI tomorrow,
totally.
So I'm practically there.
I mean, it's closer than probably Ocelot is.
Yeah.
So if we cast kind of this broad net, you got to go there. I mean, they make, you know, some of the best kettle sours I've ever had. Kevin Blodger, the head brewer out there, really no one does it better. People are always trying to learn from him. He's a German brewer, not German, but German heritage style brewer, someone who got his start at Gordon Biersch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, picked up the trade there. Makes those styles impeccably well. Have an amazing new pilsner called Skipjack that's just out of this world. German hops grown in Michigan. Just kind of great character on them. And in between the two, now that we've sort of set our two poles, within DC, DC Brow is going to produce some great sort of hop forward stuff. Atlas Brewworks, kind of similarly, has a hoppy wheat called Dance of Days. That's one of the best beers made in DC. Kind of a great environment. They've also invested a lot in their tap room. Hellbender does some very good sort of Belgian-leaning styles along with a really great red ale. Yeah, so I would say start at one and go to the other, and wherever you happen to sort of stop in between, you'll probably be happy.
Awesome. Well, I will have links to all of those in the show notes. You know, I know this is coming from my perspective as someone that's really kind of exploring the U.S. and global beer scene, but what's something you wish I would have asked that I have not asked yet that you want to let listeners know about D.C. beer or yourselves?
So you asked it. We could spend hours on it, but what's the term I'm looking for here? Like the attitude and the approach to it in this area, it being young and all of us kind of opening at the same time has led to a really dope balance of competition and community. The people behind the breweries in DC, like Phil said, just really strong personalities.
Yeah.
There's a lot of big personality and a lot of big dreaming that's going on. And I think that that's something that people, when they get to know the breweries here and the people behind them, I think that's actually something that has built our fan base huge, is people in the very beginning and still now get access to the brewers because we're such a small new community. The owners and the brewers are still around. I mean, I gave the tour for the first 3 years.
Yeah.
Every Saturday I gave the tours. And so people get to know the people behind the breweries and get to understand, like, the story. I mean, like, when we were opening, the market had crashed. So, like, our access to investor money was real hard.
Yep.
But I think if you were, like, to pick up a random person at a bar drinking a Three Stars who's, like, from around here, and you ask them, like, what's one of the things you really like about Three Stars? They're like, man, those guys just fucking made it happen. I don't know how they made it happen, but they, like, just talk about bootstrapping.
Yeah. Well, that's what's great about the scene. There's just that DIY element to craft beer in general.
Yeah, craft beer in general. And I think with DC being so young and having to kind of carve out its own identity, the people who founded the original breweries and the breweries here, there's a no-quit attitude about it where you're like, I can't just go, oh, that didn't work.
Yeah.
Like, you have to make it work. You have to make this happen. And the scene here that we're all a part of and behind is something we need to see built. mm-hmm. and continue to grow. And we all kind of agree on that. And so we formed the DC Brewers Guild, mm-hmm. which is something that other cities have either recently adopted after years of not having them mm-hmm. or have had them, has had a guild for 30, 40 years, you know, where yeah. they're all working together. So we've done that where the DC breweries have put aside any sort of competition in order to mm-hmm. work for the greater good of our scene here, which I think is a pretty big, rather grown up thing for such a yeah. young scene.
Yeah. No, I love that answer. And you know, you were talking a little bit about your brewery there as well. As we wrap up, anything else you want to share about Three Stars and what are you excited about moving forward, whether it's specific to your brewery or the scene in general?
Ooh, nice. I'm super stoked about the space next door. I'm looking forward to just having the ability to host more people for our kind of like on-site experience.
Yeah.
When we first opened and the other brewery, DC Brow opened, we weren't allowed to sell for on-site consumption. So mm-hmm. there was no taproom experience. There was come in, try some free samples, up to 12 ounces total per person per day.
Okay.
Buy your growler uh-huh. and peace out.
Yeah.
So there was no gathering. There was uh-huh. just... It was just people showing up being
it's
like,
pretty
oh.
transactional. Is what
it was very
like.
Transactional and cold in a way.
Yeah.
So we worked, the brewery founders all worked together to get some legislation done and passed so that we had the pint law. Mm-hmm. And that allowed us for on-site consumption. And since then, in 2015, you know, we put it in this urban farmhouse, as we call it. And it's been huge. It's also a conditioned yeah. space within an unconditioned space. So mm-hmm. when you walk out in the brewery, it's ice cold right now because it's ice cold outside. In mm-hmm. the summer, it's 110 degrees out there because it's 110 degrees outside.
Yeah.
So we have the ability now to gather people here. And the space next door is just going to give us more of that and provide for private event space, which we do here now. So I'm really excited about that from the business standpoint and the on-site experience. But also we're cranking out new beers and doing collaborations with a lot of our friends and working on the sour program. Mm-hmm. So I'm just stoked on what kind of beers we're going to be putting out from here in 2018.
Yeah.
And also I know a lot of my friends are planning big for 2018 too. So I'm looking forward to trying their wares in 2018. I'm just looking forward to drinking a lot this year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of where I'm
I like
at.
How you simplified that.
Yeah. Down. Yeah. Let's just break it all down to, I'm looking forward to drinking a lot.
So the one thing I would add, and on a more general note, is that if you're coming to DC, good beer is easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking just beyond the breweries and the tap rooms, there are good beer bars or even average bars with good beer selections mm-hmm. everywhere. So if you're here, there are three groups in particular you want to try to visit.
Mm-hmm.
One is Meridian Pint, strong emphasis on local. Mm-hmm. Local, again, in that broadly defined sense, you're going to find all the Leesburg breweries, all the Loudoun County breweries, DC breweries, the Maryland breweries, a lot of young breweries sort of in or outside Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Separately, there's kind of an institutional beer program at Pizzeria Paradiso.
Mm-hmm.
Recently handed off the reins, or about a year ago, to Drew McCormick, who's done an incredible job over there,
mm-hmm.
sort of modernizing their approach, bringing in more IPAs, mm-hmm. kind of casting a wider net in the beers they carry. And then third is the one that probably most people would know, which is Churchkey,
yeah.
which is, you know, a treat. You know, you never know what, the draft list is mm-hmm. massive. You never know you're going to get there. Greg Engert, the beer director there, has relationships with people that sort of make sure that he gets beer that no one else does.
Mm-hmm.
If you're okay. looking for the Vale, which is a very sort of popular Richmond brewery,
uh-huh.
that's really the only place, literally, I would say, you can find it within DC.
Yeah.
Churchkey's part of a restaurant group, neighborhood restaurant group, that has 15 different properties
all
around the area, and mm-hmm. they're all curated by Greg.
Okay.
So when you're here, and then there's four Pizzeria Paradisos, there's two sister restaurants to Meridian Pint. You look up any of those three or even hop between them, you're going to mm-hmm. have a good time and get a real sense of the personality of this area's beer scene.
Awesome. And we've dropped a number of names from around the greater area in this episode. Again, all those will be in the show notes. I got to say, I'm happy that the first time we dropped terms like legislation and pint law was during our DC episode. I feel that's politically appropriate for everything.
Makes me think we did it in Washington. Damn it.
Well, so we're not officially in Washington. We're in the District of Columbia. If you're listening from outside of this area, make sure you make it out here. You've gotten a lot of great tips from these guys. With that, gentlemen, cheers and bottoms up.
Cheers.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Hey,
thanks for listening. That was We Get Lit by Young Futura, a DC-based DJ-MC duo with a perfectly appropriate song for what turned into a long night of drinking for me in DC. You'll hear more about that in the next episode. Check these guys out at SoundCloud or youngfutura.com, spelled just like future but with an A instead of an E. Before we go, I've got one last call to action for you this week, and that's to head over to pubcastworldwide.com. Like I mentioned in the episode, that's where you can find the show notes and info on all the bars and breweries we discussed, but most importantly, it's where you can sign up for our newsletter called The Brewsletter for the latest pubcast updates and exclusive listener-only offers. As an initial treat, don't forget to cash in on a 10% discount on an order from our sponsor, Beer Cap Maps, using the promo code BREWSLETTER. And thanks again to the gang over there for sponsoring this episode. All right, that's it for today. We've got a lot of episodes from around the world coming your way soon. So stay thirsty, and we'll see you back here again real soon. Cheers!